Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And you've been cutting it close with the show lately. I mean, it's been a lot of, 6:58 and 30 seconds before you walk into your little studio there.
Here's what's happened. I've been waking up earlier. I'm better off waking up at 10 minutes till 7 than waking up at 6:10 like I did today.
Let's do an experiment called Mikey Gets Up at 6:50 one day and see how he looks for the 7 a.m. show.
I don't know what that was. What was that?
Listen, EJ's usually a magician with what he does. I guess that was supposed to be tired Mike Florio. I don't know.
I know.
Freddy Krueger is more what I was thinking. I mean, you look like Freddy Krueger. That's who you really look like.
Yeah,
I hope you never get that tired that you look like that. That's what I hope.
That's not tired. That's deceased for an extended period of time. That's decomposing.
Oh, thanks, EJ.
Thanks for nothing, EJ.
Way to go, EJ. Way to go. Way to make him look uglier. Perfect. I love it.
Thanks.
I love it.
Thank you so much.
You have been cutting it close. Well documented. You wouldn't make it on Tom
Coughlin's
football
team. Have I been late? No. I don't care.
But you're late for Tom Coughlin's meetings. You're late for them if you want to do that. You have not been late. Also, how did last night go?
Last night was fine.
Yeah?
Last night was perfectly fine.
Well, why don't you tell everybody? Tell the audience what you were up to. Yeah, there we go. Come on. Well, I mean, buck up, Bart. Let's go.
I like that, by the way. EJ's partially redeemed himself, although it's going to take a long time for him to fully get back in my good graces. There's a bad word in there that probably should be blurred. All right. It's not blurred. It's not blurred in my feed. That's for damn sure. Simple poll question. I wanted to know whether or not I should have some whiskey and a big cigar to celebrate the release of Playmakers. There were three options, all of which ended in yes. Increasingly profane in nature. I almost added a fourth one with Chris's favorite word, yes. And I went down to the barn. I didn't overdo it. I got to work today. My obligation primarily is to PFT and to this program. I got my sleep. I've been waking up earlier than usual this week because it is free agency. It didn't dawn on me how stupid it was to release a book smack dab in the middle of free agency. Like, hey, it's our busiest time of the year, so we'll get maximum exposure at PFT for the book. Oh, wait, it's our busiest time of the year. I'm doing 30 media appearances this week to push the book while also spinning all of the free agency plates. That probably wasn't a good idea.
No, I know.
But it's
rich people problems and nobody cares. And cry me a river, Justin Timberlake. I mean, you want to be Bobby big time and write books and do TV shows and crap? Sorry. It comes with the territory, Mr. Playmakers, how the NFL really works and doesn't.
by the way, sources close to me tell me that a fairly sizable shipment of copies of Playmakers showed up at a certain address on Park Avenue yesterday.
Wow, is that right? You trolling the NFL, sending them books, telling them
no,
to read
no,
up?
No, 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 no. They bought them.
They bought them.
Thank
wow.
you. I don't know. I can't verify it. Unverified.
Wait.
Unverified rumors.
All those people at 345 Park, you can't buy your way into Mike Florio's heart. You can't do that. That's not going to happen. Then look at them. They're trying to kiss your butt so you won't write so many bad articles all the time. It's not going to work, everybody over there.
Or they've got dartboards there that they want to wrap with the jacket.
No doubt.
Playmaker.
I got to think you're on some, you know, punching dummy and there's a face of you plastered on there. Not the face that EJ just made. That one would be a little too much, but yeah, something.
Maybe
there.
That's the after.
That's the
on
after.
On the dummy at league headquarters that they've been punching, stabbing, kicking, and otherwise defiling over, I don't know, based on that image, 50 years. Back to when I was a kid and was just simply a fan of the NFL. So anyway, everything is going fine. And I did make it at 6:58 today. Yes, I did. But I made it. I have not been late. I will not be late. Watch, I'll be late tomorrow. All right. It is PFT Live. We are with you here on Peacock, Sirius XM 85. Podcast audience, hello to you. Our good friends on Sky Sports, watching in the UK and Ireland. They're upset with me because the book won't be released there until April. I can't control that. I'm getting emails from people. And look, I love all of you for buying the book, but I don't know what the purpose is of complaining directly to me that you haven't gotten it yet. I don't work for Amazon. I can't make it get to your house any faster than it is. I appreciate the fact that you're anxious. I appreciate the fact that you're impatient. Once I sign off on the final copy, that's it. It's out of my hands. I don't make the books. I don't ship them out. I don't drop them on your front door. I'm impressed that you think I have some sort of influence, that there's someone I can call and say, hey, could you get Joe's copy of Playmakers to him a little bit faster? I really am honored.
They think you know Jeff Bezos, man. You got him on speed dial. You know, it's your buddy. It's, you know, rich people hang out together. They probably think that.
Yeah. Yeah. They do.
He doesn't have that cheap Florida rock in his house. That's for sure.
Yeah, no. No. Okay. Let's get to the program. And what we need to focus on today, right out of the gates, this is the byproduct, the natural and understandable byproduct of the Cleveland Browns, whose franchise quarterback supposedly is Baker Mayfield, flirting openly with Deshaun Watson. Baker Mayfield released a statement last night on Twitter that says, among other things, and I'm going to read all this, the past 4 years have been nothing short of truly life-changing since I heard my name called in the draft to go to Cleveland. This is not a message with hidden meaning, which means look for the hidden meaning. This is strictly to thank the city of Cleveland for embracing my family and me. We have made many memories and shared growing in this process through the ups and downs. I have no clue what happens next, which is the meaning behind the silence I have had during the duration of this process. I can only control what I can control, which is trusting in God's plan throughout the process, etc. That's the gist of it. That's Pete's way of telling me to move on. So, anyway, that's what Mayfield had to say. I didn't realize there was a second page to it. I just thought it was one page. I haven't seen the second page. I guess I need to go back and update my post from last night because I only quoted the first page. Bottom line is, he knows that things are uncertain. He acknowledges things are uncertain. I feel like he was compelled to say something, and this is the product of a PR team taking his first draft, which I would love to see, Chris, and honing it into something that was worthy of being posted on Twitter. Because he's surely upset with what's going on. Because we've all been led to believe he's their guy for 2022. That he's getting another chance to redeem himself and earn the contract he's yet to be paid. Now it looks like they are seriously considering the possibility of throwing him overboard. And what can you do? What can you do? That's life in the NFL. It's a meritocracy. If you're not playing well enough, your team's going to move on to somebody else. And I've said it time and again, based upon what we've seen from Baker Mayfield, what we've heard from Baker Mayfield publicly, I think it's safe to assume he's kind of a pain in the butt for the Browns behind the scenes, and they may just have gotten to the point where they've had enough. All things considered,
yeah, right.
On-field play, because certain guys are are good enough that you tolerate them being a pain in the butt like Aaron Rodgers.
No question.
But all things considered, we're going to consider our options at quarterback.
Yeah, well, I think the thing that jumps out to me more than anything yesterday, I mean, one, hey, we were surprised about, hey, Deshaun Watson's going to be interviewed by the Browns. I know that was big news to us 48 hours ago. Obviously, there was some interest in Deshaun Watson. I think we could all kind of justify going, okay, I get that. Yeah, they got a quarterback, but hey, Deshaun Watson, if you got a chance to get him, you take your chances. You take your shots. Definitely. But I feel like what we learned in the last 24 hours that was a little surprising to me more than anything was the fact that Deshaun Watson or not, it looks like they could trade him. That life is, you know, sitting on the edge there as far as Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield still being together, and that there is more options on the table. So I think that's what the interesting thing, at least the revelation that came out over the last 24 hours. You thought, oh, well, maybe something with Deshaun Watson might happen. But then you started to hear more and more things as the day went on yesterday to go, oh, wait, I mean, even if Deshaun Watson doesn't happen, something might happen to Baker Mayfield. And I think that gave us a real big inkling into Cleveland's mindset right now. You know, you said it right. I think it's fair to assess, and we both heard rumors, and I think Baker could be a little bit of a pain in the butt. Yes, then, all right, if you're a pain in the butt, you better be a baller on the field. We've had moments of being baller, but not consistency throughout that. And then, of course, there's the contract stuff that's coming up as well. So I think they're looking at all of that and trying to assess the situation, and that's why life is iffy for Baker Mayfield right now in Cleveland.
Well, it's $18.8 million fully guaranteed, his salary this year as the fifth-year option on his rookie contract. And we had kicked around the idea that maybe it would be Baker Mayfield going to the Texans. There's a report out there that the Texans don't want Baker Mayfield, so they'd have to find another destination for Mayfield. And I don't know what that would be. Would it be the Colts? It's only $18.8 million. It's not a huge financial investment.
No, it's great.
But
right.
But you got to think about what you're going to do next.
Then no question.
Whatever Mayfield is expecting from the Browns, Mayfield may be expecting from his next team. Mayfield may not be inclined to just play for $18.8 million. See, that's the other side of it, too. Even if a quarterback doesn't have a no-trade clause, because, yes, the no-trade clause provides the ultimate hammer for Russell Wilson last week, for Deshaun Watson this week. But if you're trying to get a quarterback,
yeah.
If you want a guy who's going to be your franchise guy, who's going to show up early, stay late, do all the things that franchise quarterbacks do, hold teammates accountable, show leadership, be an extension of management in the locker room, and go above and beyond punching the clock like most other players do, although plenty of players are there as well beyond the normal working hours, but your franchise quarterback has to be all in, or you're never going to be as successful as you need to be. You don't want a guy who doesn't want to be there. So, you know, if the Colts would be interested in Mayfield, and I just throw out the Colts because they have a glaring hole right
huge
now at
hole,
the top
right,
of the depth chart.
Right.
And they were interested supposedly in Watson, and the Texans wouldn't let them talk to him. But I would think that the Colts would at least kick it around, but Mayfield may want a new contract on the way in the door. You know, it's kind of the Carson Wentz dynamic
where
getting kicked out of his current team, he wants to be able to ride into the new city as a victor, not as a beaten man.
Yeah.
And the way you do that is you get a contract that pays you $35, $40 million a year on the way in the door.
Yeah, but, you know, the name you brought up is why you'd say caution, 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 don't do it, because you might get on that new team, and that new team might go, you know what? There's a reason that last team got rid of him. He's kind of a pain in the butt or has his issues or whatever. The play can be all over the place, and we got to deal with that. So that's where you're right. It's going to make things very interesting. I think it's going to make the trade hard to happen because of that kind of unknown little aspect of this whole thing. What happens after next year? You know, and then, yes, you're right. What's he going to expect? The Colts are the obvious team. All the teams that are really, you know, involved for Deshaun Watson to a degree. I mean, you know, the Colts, bam, that hits you right in the face. You would think the Carolina Panthers, if they can't pull off Deshaun Watson, that they might be dabbling in this conversation with Baker Mayfield. And that goes for the New Orleans Saints, too. I mean, I could see all those teams that we've talked about, or at least connected to Deshaun Watson, if they're left out in the dark, I certainly could see them calling Cleveland and going, okay, so now what's the deal with Baker Mayfield? Can we make something happen here?
Wouldn't that be something if the Panthers ended up with Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold?
And then,
both in their fifth-year options.
Right.
Both top three picks in the 2018 draft, both making an identical $18.8 million fully guaranteed in 2022. That would be something, because then the Panthers would have to offload Sam Darnold. I mean, this is kind of like quarterback hot potato.
It really is. You don't know what can happen
after. Once we know. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Once we know where Watson is going, there's going to be this cascading of quarterbacks who aren't A-listers as they get passed around until the dust settles on Mayfield and Darnold and just whatever else happens as it all comes to some sort of a final resting spot. But you have to wonder, Chris, do the Browns already have something lined up? Yeah. And is it as complicated as, okay, if you know you've got these four we know of four teams that have met or will meet with Watson. And more on that in a second, that process that the Texans have put in place. But it's Saints, Panthers, Browns, Falcons. Now, I don't know what the hell the Falcons are doing. I really don't.
Yeah, they were the shocker of all teams.
You can't do that. You can't do that trade before June 1. Maybe it's a post-June 1 trade.
Right.
That would send Matt Ryan somewhere, maybe to Houston, and would send Watson to the Falcons, because it's a $55 million cap charge if you trade Matt Ryan before June 1. How do you do that, and how do you absorb Deshaun Watson's contract, and how do you have a team around the quarterback if you try to pull something like that off?
Right.
But you have to wonder whether or not the Browns have had discussions that, you know, well, if this happens, then we're going to do this trade. If this happens, we're going to do this trade. I mean, I just can't imagine Baker Mayfield staying with the Browns after they have gone all in for Deshaun Watson. That doesn't work for anybody at this point.
No. There's got to be, you know, at least some conversations going on. I think that's what the statement kind of that Baker Mayfield released lets you know a little too. You know, basically he's letting you know that, you know, there's a lot of action going on behind the scenes here. My agents, we all know about it, and you know, he's letting you know. I'm not even sure. You know, I don't know what's gonna happen here over the next, you know, 48 hours or whatever. I think it's all up in the air. And here's the question I got for you, Mike. Like, you know, and I have no answer. I really wonder. Do you think this is a, you know, just hey, the contract situation, it's not going the right way. You know, he's gonna ask for too much money. So let's just abandon ship now and try to, you know, go to plan B at quarterback? Or is it just, hey, we're kind of sick of him and we don't think he's the guy anymore? Or is it all of it combined? You know, that's where I'm, you know, interested too, to just where the mindset of the Cleveland Browns is around Baker Mayfield. I understand you want Watson more than Mayfield. I can get that. But the way it's been made, you know, to all of us here the last 24 hours is, you know, again, if Watson's not there, it still looks like they might get rid of him. And that's where, you know, what do you think?
Well, I think it's all things considered, yeah. All things combined. Yeah. And remember last March when the Steelers worked out a deal to keep Ben Roethlisberger for one more year? We said they had enough distance from the season that they were able to delude themselves into thinking if they just take care of this deficiency, like get a running back in round one.
Yeah.
If they just do this, if they just do that, if all these things work out, we can run it back and maybe do better than we did last year when we started 11-0, and they did get back to the playoffs. So you got to give them credit for that. They got as far as they did in 2021 as they did in 2020.
I had to kiss Ahmad Farid's feet. I mean, come on. They got it. Damn it.
Now, maybe the Browns, who entered the offseason with the idea, we got Baker Mayfield for 1 year. $18.8 million is a reasonable price to pay for a starting quarterback in today's NFL. Let's just see what happens this year, and then we'll decide at some point during or after the season whether or not we keep Baker Mayfield. And maybe they had a chance to think that through and talk it through and realize there's no good outcome to this. Because even if Baker Mayfield has a 2018 or 2020 type performance, are we really going to pay him $40 million a year knowing that 2023 could be like 2019 and 2021.
Right.
So, you know, if you're not ready to plant the flag that says this guy's a franchise quarterback, one more year is not going to make you any more confident that he is the year in and year out long-term guy that makes you a contender. So why are you going to pay that kind of money to a guy where you may be feeling like the Rams did about Jared Goff after a couple of years? You know, this could be, and we've been waiting for the team that draws the line in the sand to a guy that's been good enough to justify a second contract and say we're not doing it because you want too much.
Right.
And Mayfield may be the first guy where that's really kind of what the team's doing. This is what it looks like when the team does that. They try to offload him in his option year. They try to find someone to take him while they try to find an upgrade. It's clumsy and it's awkward and it's ugly as it happens, but that's what happens when you get to this point. Because the other alternative is you let him play in 2022. He plays really well, but you've already decided we're moving on after the season, but he played really well. You got a lot of people in Cleveland that are going to be saying, what the hell are you doing?
No doubt.
How are you letting this guy go?
Right.
So you avoid that by moving on before he has a chance to play so well in 2022 that you get backed into a corner and you have to give him a big contract. I think that's what they've concluded after having 4, 6, 8 weeks to think about where they are and where they want to go.
Yeah, I understand those questions. Like we've talked about a lot before, consistency is a real question with Baker Mayfield. Let alone, yes, seems like he can be a little bit of a handful. We know that. The money, yeah, it's a huge investment. With a team that I think, you know, another piece of the puzzle is with a team that's not quarterback-centric. And they're not going to be. That's not what they are. So,
if they have Watson?
If they have Watson, yes, it'll be a little bit more about the quarterback, certainly. But I think they also look at it, if they don't get Watson and they don't want to overpay Baker Mayfield, hey, we know we want a good quarterback, but the mantra of their team is the running game and what they do through that. So maybe that's where they look at it too, to go, you know, we don't want to break the bank for a guy that we don't feel like is going to take our offense to the next level. He's just a piece of the puzzle of the offense. Watson, yes, that's, you know, they obviously feel different, but for the current price they're going to get him at, they're probably looking at it going, wait, Deshaun Watson, you know, he's going to cost the same as Baker Mayfield or maybe less, let alone he's more talented. So, you know, I could see, you know, how you kind of laid that out there, being a part of the Cleveland Brown brass mindset there. Certainly, I can. And you know, I would be cautious too, certainly, about, you know, giving Baker Mayfield big money. He would be another guy that I would throw in there and just go, nope, I need to see another year. Can he stay healthy? You know, can he put together a full season to what we saw at the end of the 2020 season when they went into the playoffs and almost beat Kansas City? Or is it going to be the guy we saw, you know, in 2019, or, you know, like this year at moments where it was all over the place? And that's a big question mark. And, you know, I think it's very up in the air at this point as far as the evaluation of Baker Mayfield goes.
Yesterday, I thought that the Browns don't make a move for Deshaun Watson unless they're damn sure they're going to get him, because they're going to have a huge mess on the back end with Baker Mayfield. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That they must be awfully confident,
right,
that they're going to convince Deshaun Watson to play for the Browns. Now I'm thinking that they just don't care.
Yeah, it does.
That we're
going to
shoot our shot with Deshaun Watson.
Right.
And that is our process of commencing the divorce proceedings with Baker Mayfield. The fan base now knows. Baker now knows. Everyone now knows. You know, we didn't mention the Seattle Seahawks as a potential destination for Baker Mayfield. That could make sense, right?
What, say that
Drew
again?
Locke or Baker Mayfield?
Say that one.
We hadn't talked about the Seahawks. Seahawks,
yeah,
Seattle.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, there's other teams out there. I need to pull out the full 32-team configuration and start. Yeah, there's a few possible destinations, and maybe this is just about letting people know that the Browns really are, despite all the reports. And, you know, like the Browns expect Baker Mayfield to be back. You know, that's why I always say don't pay any attention to that crap, because there's always an agenda behind it. And they're never going to come out and say, God, we can't wait to get rid of this guy, because you're never going to maximize your trade value if you act like you can't wait to get rid of him. So I think this is a long time coming. And I think they're very concerned about paying this guy market value or close to it,
right,
and having him continue to be one good year, one bad year, one good year, one bad year. That's not good enough for franchise quarterback money. Maybe it's good enough for $25, $30 million a year.
Yeah, that's what
he don't want that.
Right. No, it doesn't seem like he wants that. That to me is about where you draw the line, though, in the sand, right? That's what I would do. You know, again, that's what we've been talking about. I think when we get into these quarterbacks that we go, wait, they're around, you know, the midway point as far as quarterbacks in the NFL, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, that group of guys, They don't deserve $35 and $38 and $40 million a year. You know, they're not worthy. Their play doesn't justify that money. And I think that's what teams are, you know, to give ourselves some credit, have finally realized and figured it out a little bit. And he certainly is one of those guys that, hey, there's talent. You see potential, you know, but we've seen a pain in the butt behind the microphone and the podium. We've heard other rumors about the locker room itself. You know, there's, you know, again, the, you know, the size, the injuries, certainly. And like you said, not only inconsistent play, but, you know, play where it's decision-making, it's mechanics, it's a little bit of everything where you're just like, damn, okay, wait, this week he's stepping over here, throwing here, the ball's intercepted. Next week it's like, what is he looking at? So I understand them, you know, questioning this, certainly. And, yes, that's to Mike. The point you made, though, is what the most shocking thing was yesterday, like where it wasn't about Deshaun Watson. We found out yesterday that it just feels like Cleveland's not sure what the hell to do with Baker Mayfield, and they're kind of sick of that Baker Mayfield era and are willing to make a move if anything can, you know, pop to them and make sense for their team.
Yeah, they're looking for a way out. And getting into the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes is the commencement of a way out of Baker Mayfield, whether they get Watson or not. Everyone now knows that Mayfield is available. All right, so we've talked about the Colts, the Panthers, the Saints.
Yeah.
Clearly the Colts aren't getting Deshaun Watson. The Panthers or the Saints or both may not get Deshaun Watson, so they could be in play for Baker Mayfield. I mentioned Seattle. We've talked previously about Baker Mayfield to the Raiders because Josh McDaniels loved him back in 2018. Now, what have the 4 years that have ensued at the NFL level done to the perception of Baker Mayfield? Because we've got a lot more NFL film on Baker Mayfield than we have college film. So Josh McDaniels may feel differently than he did in 2018, but he did really like him in 2018. And as you said yesterday, Derek Carr greater than sign Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, there's no question right now. I mean, Derek Carr has played two seasons in a row of, like, really high-level football. I mean, really. I mean, he doesn't get the credit he deserves. Derek Carr is a top 10-ish quarterback. You don't trade him for a guy like Baker Mayfield who has – you know, potential to be a top 10-ish quarterback. But, you know, again, there's a lot of question marks behind that as well. So I don't look at that as being a possible avenue. I think you kind of said it, the Colts, the Saints, the Panthers, you know, Houston not being interested, that's a shocker in itself, the fact that they want to go with, Davis Mills. But then after that, like, I don't think Baker Mayfield is going to make the Philadelphia Eagles go, oh, wait, maybe we want him instead of Jalen Hurts. I don't think that happens. I think it's a limited list after you get through the Colts, Saints, and Panthers. And, you know, I know you said Seattle, but after that, I don't know if there's any other team that really jumps out to me to go, ooh, that makes sense at least.
How about Baker Mayfield as an alternative to a certain Michael McCorkle, a.k.a. Mac Jones in New England? Because if McDaniels was in on Baker Mayfield in 2018, ipso facto, Bill Belichick, I have no idea if that fits there, but it sounds good, would have been in on Baker Mayfield in 2018. If you could get Mayfield at a bargain contract, bring him to New England, iron out the rough spots, indoctrinate him in the Patriot way, make him one of the Stepford Patriots, could you see Belichick? Wouldn't that be a stunner? After Mac Jones was good enough, not great, but good enough to run that offense, do you think Belichick would have any attraction whatsoever to Baker Mayfield?
Absolutely not. No way. No way. Just, again, they're excited about Mac Jones. He was a rookie. He ran that offense better than any rookie has ever run it ever. They had a time there where we were looking at it going, damn, he's good. He's special. The Patriots are the best team in football for like a 3 or 4 week period. And I don't think they're the type of team that, you know, upset the, what is it, the apple cart? Is that what they say? You know,
yes, very well
right,
done.
Which I don't know what the hell that means, upset the apple cart. We need the Simses that means to make it more.
That means a cart of apples
right.
That gets upset.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
Okay, all
it
right.
It doesn't mean make it emotional.
Yeah.
It means turn it upside down.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
and spill the apples everywhere.
I don't think Bill would do that. To, you know, upset the apple cart or the chemistry of the football team, or even have, you know, that question lingering behind Mac Jones if he had a bad game or two, to now where the Boston media starts, you know, going, play Baker Mayfield, you know. That doesn't make sense to me, at least, you know, from what I've seen in history through in New England.
As the saying goes, one bad apple doesn't upset the apple cart. All right. Who's going to want Baker Mayfield? I think the Colts or Panthers or Saints. That's it.
I think that's it. Right.
That's where there's an upgrade. But you know what? In the past,
yeah.
And I don't think they can pull it off because of the Goff contract. Mayfield kind of has that, you know, what Dan Campbell is trying to infuse
the Lions right now.
He's got that edge.
Right.
If you can just control it internally and unleash it externally, I remember kind of speculating last year, boy, if the Browns don't want Baker Mayfield, the Lions would make some sense.
Yeah, there's definitely some, you know, attitude crossover there where you'd go, yeah, that does make sense. He's edgy. I certainly would take him over Jared Goff. That is no question. That would be an upgrade for the Detroit Lions. But like you have said, Detroit's stuck. They're stuck right now with the Jared Goff situation. I mean, it's a lot of money still on the plate there. So I don't imagine that happening. And I think they're going to try to look for some sort of quarterback for the future, maybe through the draft. Detroit could be that team.
Jimmy Garoppolo at $25 million this year, final year of his contract.
Uh-huh.
Baker Mayfield at $18.8 million this year, final year of his contract. Who are you taking? All things equal. Trade value the same. Everything else the same. Obviously, $7 million, $6 million difference in salary. Which guy are you taking?
Ooh. I'd take Baker Mayfield, honestly. I would. I know that people might be surprised by that. I don't know. Are you surprised by that? Baker Mayfield, again, do I think he could do what Jimmy Garoppolo did in San Francisco? Absolutely. And then I think he could do more. I mean, he's got a bigger arm. He's a better athlete. He just hasn't been in those situations yet and been taught by a guy like Kyle Shanahan and Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. You know, he's still, again, with Baker Mayfield, where I will defend him, it was three different coaches to start his career. The options at receiver were not great. Now, some of that might have been because of him and Odell Beckham Jr. and all of that. You know, again, it didn't seem like too many people in that locker room were mad at Odell and what he did to get out of there. I think that says a lot. You know, that basically the team was like, well, there's a little blame to go on the other side, too. He's in our locker room, but we can't say it because he's in our locker room. So, yes, but purely on the field, I'm taking Baker over Jimmy Garoppolo, Mike.
How about Baker for Jimmy G straight up, final year of their contract? So Baker becomes a one-year placeholder in San Francisco while Trey Lance continues to develop. Is that kooky talk?
I mean, you know, in theory, it's okay. I mean, Trey Lance is still in a raw to a degree, but no, I think the time is now. I wouldn't do that. I would not. You got to go with Trey Lance. You traded three first-round picks for him. You know, okay, if you got Tom Brady, sure. I can understand that. That maybe. But now it's time to go. And like we've talked about with Trey Lance, it's a guy that has lacked reps and playing experience as is. They got to get him out there playing football here. He can't be sitting on the bench for another year.
Let's focus now on the Deshaun Watson situation, because there were interesting reports last night as we get a better understanding of the process. I had advocated, number one, identifying all interested teams. Number two, finding out which of those teams Deshaun Watson is interested in. And then number three, hoping that an auction for his contract emerges from the teams that he would play for. I saw the reports last night that there's a twist to that. Before the Texans would allow a team to meet with Deshaun Watson, the Texans had to approve the trade proposal that each team brought to the table. And it dawned on me why the Texans are doing this, and credit to Nick Caserio for thinking ahead. Because if you do it the way I suggested, there's a chance that Deshaun Watson emerges from the various meetings with only one team that'll play for. Then what's your leverage? The "we'll just keep him" leverage, like Seattle had with Russell Wilson when negotiating with the Broncos. You don't have that in Houston. They're desperate to get rid of him.
Right.
So you've got to get pre-qualification. You've got to get the deals lined up. Basically, the Texans are doing directly what the Packers did indirectly through David Dunn, lining up the acceptable destinations for Aaron Rodgers while he decided where he was going to go. The difference is Rodgers had the Packers on the menu. Watson doesn't have the Texans on the menu. So Panthers, Saints, Browns, Falcons have all made proposals to the Texans that they've signed off on.
Yeah.
So the trade's going to happen. If these reports from last night, and anytime I see the exact same report come from multiple people, that tells me somebody's putting it out there.
No doubt.
It's basically
right.
an announcement.
Right.
Right. It's not a report. It's an announcement that's handed to somebody, but they don't want to put their name on it. They don't want to do a press release telling the world that this is it, but they're telling the world this is it. That tells me as soon as Watson picks one of these teams, that's where he's going.
I would think so. I mean, the way it was laid out, that's the way I took it, certainly. You know, what I was surprised was is like, were all the offers exactly the same? That's what I wanted to know, you know. Or is it just like, hey, that's good enough, and we'll tinker with it when the time comes? Or was it just like, hey, wait, this is what you got to give us to have the conversation with Watson, or you don't get to have that? I mean, was there a baseline, like, here's the standard you got
to
get to?
It had to be.
I guess so. And was everybody's the same? I mean, you know, that's where it's interesting, too.
But how can it be? Because they're all drafting in different spots around one. I don't know if they pull out the old trade chart and they say, well, you know, from the Saints, we want this, this, and this. From the Panthers, we take this, this, and this. From the Browns, it's that. From the Falcons, it's that. I don't know. I don't know. But if these reports are accurate, and again, these reports are announcements that are funneled through reporters, they are accurate. The Texans have pre-qualified. It's like showing up to look at a house. You got to get pre-qualified for the mortgage before you even walk in the door. These teams had to be pre-qualified before they could even sit down with Deshaun Watson, because the risk is Watson's going to fall in love with the one team that's going to hold out. If there's one team, if you can make the pitch that we're the team and Watson says screw all the other ones, you set yourself up to steal Watson, because the Texans at that point have no leverage.
Yeah, right.
So this was the only way to do it. So kudos to Nick Caserio for figuring that out. If I was the GM of the Texans, I would have screwed that up, because there quite possibly would have ultimately been one team that Watson would have waived his no-trade clause for. Then I'm stuck. So yeah. Smart move. Another move, Chris, that I think is – it's curious to me.
Yeah.
Tony Busby, who represents 22 individuals who have sued Deshaun Watson. Now, those cases are still pending. Those cases aren't going anywhere unless they're settled or dismissed. They're going to trial at some point, and he'll either win or lose. And there's 22 of them. And a lot of times civil cases can be coin flips. And I don't know, you flip a coin 22 times and have it come up heads, good luck with that. I mean, it's just too – it's unless they try them all at once and go all eggs in one basket with one jury, it's not going to be easy to win every one of these. But Tony Busby – reportedly said that none of the teams interested in Deshaun Watson have reached out to him or his clients to find out their side of the story. And on one hand, I say, well, you know, there's enough out there that you know their side of the story. But on the other hand, it's like, maybe you should talk to him. Maybe prudence requires you to slow down and take in everything, because you're going to get knocked from a PR standpoint if you trade for Deshaun Watson. Don't you want to be able to say, we turned over every stone, we considered every angle, we talked to everyone we needed to talk to? If you're just getting your information about these cases from Deshaun Watson or his lawyer, you're not getting all the information. So I don't know why you wouldn't want to do it. What does it hurt? Yeah, the worst case scenario is Tony Busby tells you something that you follow up on and it makes you say, yeah, we're not going to do this trade. Thank God we figured that out before we pulled the trigger. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't do it. I understand why they're not doing it, but I think it probably makes sense to check that box, because if these cases do go sideways and you've traded for him and you didn't talk to Tony Busby, you're going to hear about it from Tony Busby and your fan base is going to hear about it. And they're going to be like, what were you thinking? Why didn't you get this information and step away from the table before it was too late?
It's an interesting point, or you raise a good question. I'll say that. I will. I mean, I guess if you're a team, you're going to look at Tony Busby, and I think there's a little bias, right? That, you know, some of the stuff you're going to get there, you don't know if it's necessarily
factor
true.
Factor that in. You factor that into everything he says.
I guess so. You know, the other real reality, at least that, you know, kind of hits me in the face, is that teams don't really want to know. They don't really want to know all the details, the teams that are interested here. They just want it to be, wait, is it not so egregious that we'll look like total fools when he gets here? Okay, it's not. It didn't cross that line of so egregious that we're not going to get totally lambasted when he gets to town. Fine, then we don't really want to hear the details, because he's a really good player and we keep watching film and damn, it's good. Oh my gosh, he's going to make our team good. I don't. That to me would be why. I don't think the teams here want to get into all of that. They like just kind of, okay, there's an issue, but they still have an image or a view of Deshaun Watson that they don't want to be disrupted right now. That would be at least my thought on the process there.
Let's spin it forward, though. Yeah. With four suitors at the table, three of which come from the same division.
Mm-hmm.
If Deshaun Watson, and I was on WFNZ in Charlotte this morning, and this kind of organically came up during the conversation. I hadn't previously thought of this. If Watson picks the Saints, aren't the Panthers, isn't it in their interest? I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying we need to be ready for it. Won't the Panthers start spinning this as, yeah, you know, we decided that after we did our due diligence, we really didn't, you know, we really weren't comfortable. What else are you going to say? Well, we lost him to the Saints. The Saints are better than us. The Saints made a better pitch than us. We really wanted him. He picked the Saints. Sorry. I mean, it becomes in the Panthers' interest to say, yeah, you know what? We dodged a bullet on this one. I hadn't thought of that before.
Kind of a
morning.
Low blow, though. I mean, to
but
me.
God, what a shock that an NFL team would make a low blow at somebody they don't get. What a shock that would happen.
You know,
I'm not saying
know.
It's right. I'm just saying I could see them doing it.
Listen, they'll probably try to spin it either way. I don't think that's going to make Watson's agent feel great. Wait, the guy you just wanted and you were begging us to get, now you're glad you dodged a bullet with him. Oh, that's great, guys. Great job. That to me is, you know, again, crossing the line a little bit as far as business ethics or whatever else. I understand.
Read
it is the NFL. But.
Yeah. Let me tie it back to our prior point, though. It's all the more reason to talk to Tony Busby. You lay the foundation for that eventual argument. See, I think these teams are so caught up in the land rush for Deshaun Watson, they're not thinking about these things. If you want to eventually be able to say, low blow or not, we decided to back away from Deshaun Watson. He didn't not pick us. We didn't pick him. We talked to Tony Busby. We got some information. We can't share that stuff publicly because it was given to blah, 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 BS, 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 BS. But if you don't talk to Busby, it's harder to sell that. I guess that's my point. I don't know why. And I understand they're going to get a very skewed, justifiably. It's his duty, right? His duty is to cause chaos for Watson in order to get the best possible settlement for his clients. That's how it works. That's how the sausage gets made. So they're not willing to put their hand into the meat grinder on something like this because they know what's going to happen. But if you want to set up the opportunity to say, yeah, we decided to go in a different direction after we learned some of these things, you got to go learn some of those things. You got to go talk to Tony Busby. So this thing is happening so quickly. I just wonder if the teams that are pursuing Deshaun Watson are thinking it through beyond we just want to get him.
I think they are. I know with the Tony Busby conversation happens that I don't know, you know, that to me would be, I'm not sure all teams would get behind that again, you know, for the reasons stated, but I think all these teams are doing their due diligence enough to feel, hey, comfortable at this point to go, okay, let's make it happen. And like you've always said, listen, he's a talented player. He's a superstar player to where they're going to swipe some of this stuff under the rug. Yes, for what they're going to get on the football field. So we'll see where it goes. But, you know, we're getting the feeling that we see the light at the end of the tunnel. Now, if you're one of these teams, Mike, do they wait a little longer here? I mean, you know, you're not going to pull the trigger quite yet on making the trade, right? You're going to want to see kind of maybe some more developments, or do you think this is going to happen here really shortly?
I think if you've come to the table with your offer to the Texans and you've met with
ready,
Deshaun
huh?
Watson, once he picks a team – I mean, if you say, "Man, we want to wait a week," okay, I'll move on to the next one. I think that the planets are lined up here, and it's just a matter of Watson picking a team. And today is the day of the start of the league year at 4 p.m. Eastern. That's when the cap numbers hit the books, and the Texans can offload a net of $24 million in cap dollars, $35 million in cash obligations, and they avoid the $17 million roster bonus fully guaranteed and payable in March of 2023 if they get this resolved ASAP. Another reason not to talk to Tony Busby, and this may be ultimately why teams aren't doing it. If you talk to him,
yes, and say something then wrong or whatever.
Well, no, no. Okay. If you talk to him and you trade for Deshaun Watson, then you become the pincushion for Busby's grandstanding,
yes,
saying, you know, I told the Panthers
right
all about this stuff,
right,
and they traded for this guy anyway. Hey, Carolina Panthers fans, you need to be asking some tough questions of David Tepper. You need to be asking some tough questions of Matt Rhule. Is this just an effort by Matt Rhule to save his ass? You know, et cetera, et cetera,
yeah,
et cetera.
That's what I meant. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that because some of that they're going to go, wait, I don't even know if it's true or not, but that's just his side, and now he's throwing it on us. And that's that to me was my point where I don't think that call will happen.
I'd rather have Busby saying they didn't call than Busby saying they called
exactly
and I told him everything and they still traded for him. Because that's how it all came up today on WFNZ in Charlotte. You got some folks in North Carolina who are skittish about this. I mean, the Panthers have been at the table for a long time, but now it's real.
Yeah,
they
right
wanted him last year, but right it never really materialized. He never wanted them. Now he's at least considering them. Now it's in a position where it could happen. And you got some folks there who aren't very comfortable
sure
with the idea of making this trade for Deshaun Watson, not just in light of the allegations, but in light of the stuff that's already been acknowledged. Last year, Rusty Harden, in one of his press conferences, admitted that these massage therapy sessions lined up through social media at times became consensual sexual encounters. So, and there were a lot of them. What was the number? North of 40 in a 9-month window, I think it was. I'll defer to the facts there, but it was something that made folks say, something's not right here. Regardless of what happens in the criminal justice system,
yes,
the civil justice system, something's wrong with this picture. And I think that's part of what Deshaun Watson needs to consider in making his final determination. He played college football in Clemson. He kind of knows. I'm trying not to pass judgment on a populace here, but this is part of the reality. Different fan bases, different cities are going to react to this differently. And if you're going to be looking for a place where the reaction to Deshaun Watson is negative, if he shows up as the local team starting quarterback, the Panthers are probably at the top of the list of where the reaction will be locally the most negative.
Yeah, I mean, will it? I don't know. You think that?
I think it will.
I mean,
well, I'm just saying it's all relative.
I know.
It's
going
to
be negative. You're going to deal with blowback no matter where he goes. You know, I think if the Panthers a little bit because of what you said, the Clemson, South Carolina, you know, connection, the fact that, hey, the Panthers' new facility is going to be in the state of South Carolina, right?
Yeah. The people or the local government ever pays the money they're supposed to pay for them to keep building building it, last I saw. But eventually, it will be.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, that could be a place where maybe he's got a few more people on his side. Either way, the point being to what you're saying is no matter where he goes, it's going to be blowback. You're going to have to deal with some of that. Not every fan. If you take, 20 fans, you're going to have a handful who are going to go, wait, I don't want that guy. Wait, that guy seems, fishy or dirty for what he did down in Houston, however you want to phrase it. And you're going to have to deal with that. That's going to be part of the territory. You're going to have to take your lumps, and hopefully that Deshaun Watson can, continue to act appropriately and kind of grow on, people and city through his play and what he says into the microphone.
I'm looking at the table of contents of playmakers. There is a chapter in part 3, quarterbacks, Ben Roethlisberger's redemption, page 89. It tells the story of how in the aftermath of the second allegation against Ben Roethlisberger, there was a lawsuit in 2009 filed in Nevada. There was the Milledgeville, Georgia incident in 2010, same month, March. And in the aftermath of that, it was as bad locally in Pittsburgh as I've ever seen it for any player on the Steelers. They were ready to run that guy out of town. They considered trading him to multiple teams. It was bad. I remember tuning into talk radio in Pittsburgh, and they were going on. We've talked about this before. Every petty grievance you could list about Ben Roethlisberger was it was just free for all. But what happens? He plays. He wins. They get to the Super Bowl. By 2011, it's all forgotten. And that's the play that the Panthers, the Saints, the Falcons, the Browns are trying to make here. Short-term pain, long-term gain.
That's right.
They're going to forget about this a year from now. The cases are going to end at some point. Everyone moves on. Everything moves on. It's reality. It's reality. Mike Vick spent 2 years in prison for dogfighting. Came back and played at a very high level. Got a $100 million contract, sort of. Not really, but close enough. So I think that that that's the understanding here. We're going to take some lumps. There's going to be some pain. There's potentially going to be a suspension. Maybe there'll be a trial in open court where all sorts of embarrassing things are said. But at some point, everyone's going to move on, and we're going to have a quarterback who's among the best in the NFL, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's what they're hoping for, 100%. And they are.
And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. No, I'm just saying that's
right.
That's the way it is.
They're going to weather the storm. I mean, we've seen that, you know, with really good players throughout the history of the NFL. I mean, it's part of it. You're right. You're going to have to weather the storm. So that's where, it's going to be interesting. I mean, we know the teams that are interested. I thought we would hear Philadelphia's name maybe involved in this at some point. You know, I thought they might be lurking in the shadows. That doesn't sound like it's going to happen. And to me, still, the shocker of the day yesterday was the Cleveland Baker Mayfield, the comment. You know, obviously there's something going on there behind the scenes for Baker from Mayfield to put that comment out. I mean, between Deshaun Watson, we're certainly not going to be lacking for things to talk about here. And, damn, with Baker Mayfield too, Mike, I mean, I think we hit on it. I mean, that the contract situation's really going to make things interesting. And I think going to hurt the value of the trade if Cleveland does want to get rid of him and all that. So, I mean, there's so many interesting things about, you know, these two quarterbacks and what it does for the rest of the NFL here over the next few weeks.
We really have moved into that phase of teams being very concerned about giving a quarterback a second contract that properly values him in relation to all others. And when you look at the Aaron Rodgers contract, which finally was signed, the new money average is $61.9 million. And I know it's a short-term extension, and he may not even play the full 3 years. But over the next 3 years, when you consider what he's going to make this year and what he will make, it's $61.9 million per year in new money average. That is an amazing bump over the prior high water mark of $45 million per year in new money. But from Rodgers at 61.9 to Matt Ryan at 30, you've got 10 quarterbacks, and you've got a $30 million spread. Where do you drop Baker Mayfield into that range? Where do you drop Kyler Murray into that range? That's going to be the challenge as these young quarterbacks who are good enough for second contracts and want maximum dollars are wrestling with teams, Chris, that don't want to pay $45, $50, $55 million a year.
Yeah.
They want to wait and see if this guy becomes a true top five quarterback.
Yeah, no, I think it's right. And I mean, let's do it. I mean, what's the number for that guy? That guy that you go, okay, he's not a franchise, top five, you know, top eight, top nine, superstar, can just pull rabbits out of his butt at any time and make plays happen, right? That guy, let's say Baker Mayfield. I mean, we know. You look at the starting quarterbacks right now. I mean, Tom Brady and Derek Carr, $25 million a year. You know, that is the low mark of the guys that are established starters once you take the rookies out of the situation. Then you get into, like, Taysom Hill at $10 million and all of that. So there's $25 million for Brady or Derek Carr, right, before you hit the rookie contracts. I mean, that to me, it would be around the range you'd be looking to, at least in my opinion, if I was running a team, that I'd want to pay Baker Mayfield around that money. 25, 26, 27 million, okay. Yeah, you're good. You're the quarterback. We've invested money in you. The locker room knows you're good. We're paying you way more than anybody else in here, but we're not, like, just paying you stupid money because you're the quarterback. That to me, I think, is the ballpark I'd be looking at. I don't know. You tell me. What's your thought there?
Yeah, I was thinking 30 or so. This Brady contract is weird, and it's even weirder that he comes back to Tampa Bay without any adjustment, although who knows, maybe he'll sign another extension years into the future that gives him a big pile of money right now. That's what happens. He does these team-friendly deals, and he emerges from the negotiation with a $30 million signing bonus. We should all be so giving and charitable in our team-friendly deals, but I'd say that's about right. And Derek Carr is going to be a good test case here. They've been talking to him about a new contract. What's he going to get? Where's he land on that range? I've heard $40 million a year, and people are like, oh, my God. But look at where the market's going.
Yeah, right.
Look at where the cap's going. Look at where the market is, especially post-Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, $40 million is going to become the benchmark soon. $50 million is going to become the benchmark soon. That's just the way it goes. Most important position on the team, as the cap starts its movement toward $300 million a year, you're going to, you know, when we see these big numbers for players, we're like, oh, God, I can't believe he gets that much. Remember, the owner's stuffing it into his coffers, too. It's 50-50 split. So whatever the players are getting, collectively, the owners are getting the exact same amount.
Yeah.
And they own the teams.
Yeah. Now, I think, you know, when I look at a Derek Carr, again, we're talking about a guy that I think is a level up from Baker Mayfield, a professional, right? I mean, you know, we don't Derek Carr, you don't worry about what he's going to say in front of a microphone other than like, oh, that might have been a little too cheesy. I mean, that's about as far as it goes right there. Or, oh, man, he's such a nerd. I mean, that's about as that's all you got to worry about with him. And then the field, he's become a machine. He's a robot like we've talked about. So I would think, yes, for a guy like that that's top 10-ish in the NFL, yeah, you're dancing around the high 30s, you know, when it's all said and done for a 2022 contract here. Yeah, high 30s, maybe he does hit 40, but somewhere in that 35 to 40 range for sure.
Meanwhile, Jeff Duncan pointed out yesterday that as we go to break, that the Deshaun Watson back and forth between the Saints and Falcons could ramp up the rivalry. Sean Payton responded by saying, rivalry? That's good. Gone but not forgotten.
I love
Sean Payton.
He's still edgy.
Let's take a break.
Sitting on a golf course. He's still edgy.
When we return, Randy Gregory decided to stay with the Cowboys until he didn't. We'll break that one down when this Wednesday edition of PFG Live continues right after this.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
So Randy Gregory was going to stay with the Cowboys, and this is the kind of transaction that the team is allowed to announce because they're keeping one of their own, unless they aren't. Denver Broncos, social media team. Great work with the Colbert gift.
Amazing.
Yeah. Here's my understanding of what happened, and there are some hard feelings at play here.
Yes.
Peter Schaefer, who represents Randy Gregory, yesterday, he wasn't going to say anything about any of it, but the Cowboys are being
I know about it, you know, too, Mike, so pointed. I can back you up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gregory was negotiating with the Broncos,
right,
and was ready to sign with the Broncos on Monday night. Jerry Jones gets involved. Hey, Randy, you know, we're family. I'm paraphrasing, but we love you. We know you.
Right.
We've been through a lot together. Let's work this out.
Right.
And the Cowboys reluctantly match what the Broncos were offering.
Yep.
So Gregory decides to spurn the Broncos,
right,
and stay with the Cowboys for the same money.
Right.
Same money. Then comes the contract, and in the contract, and the Cowboys apparently do this for all of their players except for Dak Prescott. There's an ability under the CBA to jeopardize and ultimately nullify a guy's guaranteed money. Now, most teams will only wipe out a guy's guarantees if he's suspended. The Cowboys have language in their contracts, except for Dak Prescott, that says if you're fined under, for example, the substance abuse policy, a policy that has been an issue for Randy Gregory throughout his career, if he's even just fined, his guarantees go away. He's unprotected. If they decide he's not good enough, they can dump him without honoring any future guarantees. So that's an important provision for Randy Gregory because he has a higher potential, no pun intended, than the other players of being fined under the substance abuse policy. And I'm on record. The NFL shouldn't even have a substance abuse policy. If it's not a PED, who the hell cares what guys are doing on their own time? If it affects their performance at work, that's a different issue. Then they get cut or they get benched or whatever. But if a guy is smoking marijuana, especially in a state where it's legal, and holy crap, he was going to Colorado before the Cowboys got involved, and now he is going to Colorado, obviously. But they had that language in there, and they wouldn't take it out. And Schaefer said, I gave him a chance to take it out.
Yeah.
And I think Schaefer was also upset because it was represented to him. According to him, I know there's two sides to every story, his position was, they told me to do it for everyone. They didn't say, except Dak Prescott. They said they do it for everyone. Turns out they don't do it for Prescott. It created hard feelings. Gregory thought he was being screwed over a little bit when he decided to stay in Dallas. So they gave him a chance to take out the language. They chose not to do it. And so Gregory said, fine, I'm going to Denver. That's that.
That's that. That's how it was explained to me, certainly. I mean, you kind of hit it spot on. And then, it's, you know, in my opinion, it's a step too far with that language. It is. And I understand they want to protect their assets and all that. But, I mean, as a player, I mean, you put yourself in his shoes. Yeah, I mean, again, you know, just it's guaranteed money that you got. Wait, I got to pay that back. All right, wait, if I make a mistake, you know, you don't have to pay me in the current drug, you know, policy and how that works in the NFL. If he makes a mistake, he gets suspended. They don't pay him. But, yeah, as a player, you know, again, that's just that's a little much. He felt more comfortable. And that's what I was led to believe, too. It was just that language right there that directly affected the whole thing. And that's where, you know, after that, Randy Gregory, hey, so what? You did all those nice things to me. And you did help me through some tough times in my life. You know, he didn't feel good about the structure of that contract, and goes to a team that is going to know how to use him. You know, is going to play a defense. He's going to be, you know, their Leonard Floyd guy of that defense. EJ Evero, who just came from the Rams, been a part of that, you know, system there. You know, was with Brandon Staley a little bit. I mean, that's what he's going to do. Outside linebacker, defense, end, and he's got the skill set to do it. And we know he's a force to be reckoned with when he's healthy and on the football field.
And let's make sure people understand exactly why this is an issue for Randy Gregory. He comes through the door in Denver, and assuming that it's the exact same deal financially, the exact same structure, right. The only difference is the Broncos aren't going to wipe out guarantees in the event of a fine under the substance abuse policy. And Pete asked, does it apply to any fine, you know, for a quarterback hit or whatever? I haven't heard that it does.
No.
It's more along the lines of any of these league policies, not on-field things. So Gregory gets a $10 million signing bonus. That's not jeopardized by a fine under the substance abuse policy. But then you've got base salary of $4 million this year. It's fully guaranteed. We're not going to cut him over $4 million after giving him $10 million. He gets 2022. The question becomes 2023 because his salary of $14 million next year is fully guaranteed on the way through the door. If he gets fined under the substance abuse policy, if he'd stayed in Dallas, and he has a really bad year on top of it, and they decide after the season, we're moving on from Randy Gregory, you don't have that $14 million anchor. You don't have a guaranteed salary. You can rip it up. You can go away. That's what they would do with Ezekiel Elliott right now if his salary wasn't guaranteed. If Ezekiel Elliott had done anything since signing his second contract in 2019 that would have allowed the Cowboys to invalidate the guarantees, they would have, and they would have gotten rid of him by now. The only reason he's on the team is because his contract was structured in a way that guaranteed 2022
last year
back in 2021.
Right.
That's the way you do the guarantees to ensure a guy is going to be there. So if they could have gotten out from under his guaranteed money this year, they would have, and he'd be gone. So that's why it was an issue for Gregory. If you combine one fine under the substance abuse policy with a dip in play that makes the Cowboys say he's not worth $14 million this year, he's gone. That's it. So that's why it was important.
Sure.
And now people say, well, you know, now he's going to Colorado and he has to pay state income tax. You're protecting that $14
million
by insisting on that language being removed. If the Cowboys don't do it, then you don't sign with the Cowboys. It's that simple.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, first off, the Ezekiel Elliott thing, just to hit on that, they're in a bad spot there. I mean, I would argue that the second best running back on their team has been paid $15 million a year. You know, I wouldn't have done that last year, just to hit on that. Dallas with all these salary cap issues. I would not have re-upped that to guarantee it in 2021 for the 2022, right after that 2020 season was over, right? That's when they had to make that decision, right? Somewhere right after the Super Bowl between the Bucks and the Chiefs. You know, that would have been no there. As far as Randy Gregory's concerned, you know, yes, you said it right. That protects that second year, that $14 million. And again, too, if you're the player, you know, who's a guy who's got his life straight here and really going down the right path, but again, you never know. I mean, I'm just, you know, you throw things out. He could be in a car, get pulled over for, oh, he made a right-hand turn on red. Oh, wait, the guy in the back seat, my freaking friend has, you know, a nugget of marijuana on him. Now I'm in the NFL drug program again. And Dallas takes my money away? They can take my brick for that? You know, that's where they look at that. I mean, again, there's just too many things that could happen. There really is. You could be at a bar, somebody put something in your drink. You know, again, there's all those things that, you know, I think the agent and the player look at that to go, wait, You know, I want to protect my guy and his investment here and my investment here, and I want to protect the player. And that's what, you know, they're thinking on their side.
And, you know, here's the bottom line. Because you'll hear from Cowboys fans and also Cowboys reporters who kind of act like fans. And I made that observation over the weekend. There's a lot of reporters who act like fans. And I don't know if they're just catering to the fans, because if you're perceived as being negative toward the team, then the fans hate you and they don't read your stuff. But there will be this cry of, well, that's just how the Cowboys do business, except for Dak Prescott. That's how they do business. That's standard language in these contracts. But, you know, we've called out teams for this in the past, whether it's the Bengals and their contract structure, the Steelers last year with their intransigence on the question of whether or not they'd guarantee money beyond the first year of the T.J. Watt extension, and they finally gave in. The idea that that's just how we do business, at some point that buckles under the weight of the CBA allows you to do business a different way. You're choosing to go as far as you're going with wiping out guarantees based upon a fine. You don't have to wipe out guarantees based upon a fine. That's not what the CBA says. The CBA gives you the power to do it. It doesn't require you to do it. And if everybody else is only wiping out guarantees in the event of a suspension, this, well, you know, that's how we do it. Sometimes it's important to be flexible. And with Randy Gregory, given his history, it was important for the Cowboys to be flexible. They weren't, so they lost Randy Gregory. They only have themselves to blame. They had a chance. As I said, Schaefer gave them a chance to remove the language from the contract. They chose not to do it, so they lost Randy Gregory. And their loss is Denver's gain. Because now,
I'm here's shocked.
Whether it's quarterbacks or pass rushers, they're loading up the AFC West, baby.
Yeah, yes, they are. I mean, Denver. I mean, wow. You know, you look at that. You go, man, Randy Gregory, if Bradley Chubb gets back to where we know he's capable of before he got injured and all that, man, they got a force already coming off the edge there in Denver. I mean, it is amazing, the arms race that's going on in this division right now. It's extremely talented on both sides of the football. You know, the Raiders, they're going to be an interesting team, even though they're the team that went to the playoffs last year. You know, other than the Chiefs in the division, they're kind of, they're going to flip that roster over to a degree, because they're going to play a different style of football than the last coaching staff. You know, New England doesn't want to build their team, right? Josh McDaniels, New England, the same way John Gruden and Mike Mayock. Gruden is.
How long is it going to take, though?
You know,
how long does it take to flip the roster? That's the problem.
Yeah, that'll be the problem. Right. I mean, I would hope everybody can at least give them a year to get, like, some major places and major pieces in place to then, okay, you know, 2023, here come the Raiders, and they are a force. So, you know, again, they're the playoff team, but I look at them as being the least talented team in the division right now, which is pretty amazing to say.
And this is one of the realities of bringing the Patriot way to a new organization. This happened in Detroit to Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia. It happened to Josh McDaniels in Denver more than a decade ago, and I think McDaniels has learned from that experience. If you show up with that Bill Belichick, no nonsense, people get pissed off mindset, you have a limited time to turn the team around. So McDaniels needs to operate with a softer touch than other Belichick proteges have done.
Yep.
Because you need some time. You need to buy some time. You gotta be available to the local media. You gotta not piss off the people in the building who thought it was a lot easier under the old regime, and they really don't like all these new rules and regulations. You gotta be very careful about that, because you need time to get the players who are gonna allow you to do what you're trying to do.
Yeah, agreed. It's a different philosophy, so there's gotta be a little patience. But I think Josh McDaniels has learned those lessons. He kind of explained that to me pretty in depth, you know, at the combine when I got a little sit down interview with him there. That was one of the first things he said, that he's got to approach.
Just the fact that he's doing that is a good sign.
Agreed.
The fact that he's willing to talk about it is a good sign.
I agree, 100%. All right, so I got a little question for you. AFC West, all right? You got $1,000 in your pocket, cash, right now. You got to lay down the money. You know, because you're Mike Florio. You're a rich SOB. You know, I mean, look at that. I mean, it's a $1,000 shirt. You probably got some gym shorts on and then $1,000 in cash in the pocket there. I mean, probably something like
that. You got
that.
Two out of three right. Well, this is a shirt that NBC sent me. I don't know what they paid for it. If they paid $1,000, they paid way too much. I do have gym shorts on. I don't have $1,000 in my pocket. I've been carrying around in my wallet the same $10 bill for months because who uses cash anymore? When we went to L.A. for the Super Bowl, I do have to amend, I did get cash then because that's how you tip the cleaning staff at the hotel. That's all I've used cash for. In the last year, the only thing I've used cash for is to tip the cleaning staff at the hotels we stayed at in advance of the Super Bowl. So, no, I don't have $1,000. I don't have $1,000 in cash because I don't have cash.
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, it was stupid of me to say. I mean, you'd have to leave your house to actually spend cash, so that's a hard thing to do, you know? And, I mean, you've only left once in 3 years. I would think you don't
two
need
years.
It. Sorry. All right, but now
I've only left
it.
Once in 2 years. How dare you? I've only left my house once in 2 years, sir. Do not defame me by suggesting it's been 3 years.
That $10 you got, though, you got to lay it down. You taking the Chiefs or the field in the AFC West right now?
Field.
You taking
the field? Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
I want to say that. That sounds good. Like, I'll take the field. But, I mean, damn, it is the Chiefs. You sure? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I would.
Too much uncertainty.
Man.
Too much uncertainty.
What's...
No, I always take the field. Last year, Buccaneers are the field. People would have been tempted to say the Buccaneers, and look what happened. So, I mean, there's too much uncertainty.
We're just talking about the AFC
now,
West,
now the
though.
Fields. Yeah. I know. The field's only three, but still, I just think if you're going to make these bets over time, always go with the field. You're going to make money over time going with the field.
Yeah, because over time.
The field is bigger.
I know.
The field
over
is bigger.
Time, I get it.
And there's too many things that can go haywire for the Chiefs.
No, over time, that makes sense. I just don't know if it does with this one. There's this guy named Patrick Mahomes there that last time I checked is kind of good, and they're never out of a game. And they're still even playing crappy football for half of the year last year. We go, whoa, they're going to go to the Super Bowl again. It didn't matter. They got the I got to see it before I can crown one of these other teams first. I'd put money on the Chiefs still.
Yeah, I think the Chargers are going to be a force to be reckoned with, and the Broncos. The Raiders, who knows? It is going to take some time.
Yeah.
I think the odds that we had up earlier are dead on. The Raiders are going to get left in the dust short term, but they're going to redouble their efforts to try to turn it around quickly. Let's take a break. When we return, Tom Brady Sr. has found someone to blame for Tom Brady Jr.'s 40-day NFL retirement. We'll discuss that when PFT Live continues right after this.
There are two things that are absolutely true. Grandma loves you, and she would never say no to McDonald's. So treat yourself to a Grandma McFlurry with your order today. It's what Grandma would want. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.